This is an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Winton Horton by Bill Whitehill from the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at their residence, Box 163, Owingsville, Kentucky, on June 23rd at approximately 2 o'clock. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Horton, would you like to just give us some maybe background information on your arrival into this area?
I first came to Owingsville right out of college in 1922 and taught in the Owingsville High School for 2 years from 22 to 24. Graduated from Kentucky Western College, Winchester, Kentucky. In 1924 we married and moved back to Bluefield, Virginia. I worked in the Bank of Grimm there for 5 years until 1929, and we moved back here on the farm, and been on the farm ever since.
After you moved back, did you go into the educational system here?
I started teaching, and I think first taught in 31 in a one-room school at Preston, Kentucky. And then I was elected county school superintendent in 31 and held that office until 1940.
When you were a teacher, could you talk about some of your experiences as a teacher, such as salaries, number of students you had, things like this?
Well, the first year I taught in the county, and made $110 a month. Most of the rural teachers made between $60 and $65 along the way. And in 2 years I taught at Owingsville in the high school, I made $125 a month from 22 to 24. Then county school superintendent for 9 years and made $200 a month. Most of that was during the Depression. We had a hard time just holding the schools together because we had so little money to operate on. One year, remember, we just got $6 per pupil from the state to operate schools on with the help of our local tax rate. During those Depression years, we had 55, if I remember, one and two room schools in the county. There were four smaller high schools in the county then, one at Salt Lake and Owensville and Sharpsburg and Bethel. And in 37 and 38, when we consolidated, we took in the Salt Lake School, the Owensville School, and the Bethel School. Sharpsburg didn't come in at that time, and they later went in with Bethel and disbanded their own high school. So we wound up with one consolidated high school in Owensville, where all the high school pupils in the county went to one school. We built that school at Owensville and Salt Lake and Bethel under the PWA. Federal government program. The federal government put up 70% of the money, and the county put up 30%. Issued bonds for a number of years, they've been paid off for, I guess, 20, 25 years.
When you first became the superintendent, how many students or how many teachers did you have working under you at that time?
We had around, I just don't remember exactly, it's been so long, but I think it's around 75 or 80.
And what were some of the major topics or major subjects that were taught in your high schools in the early part of your career?
Well, they taught the basic things that were set out by the state, mathematics and history and English and home economics. And, well, since that time, we've added on a lot more things in the last few years. Back in those days, we didn't know anything about one of them. We didn't teach them, we didn't have to anyway.
Of course, embedded on art, yeah, agriculture,
art and agriculture, music, and
music, and so many things.
Many things that
since we had.
We didn't have at all. But back in the 30s, we took a close census of the children in the county. We had about 3,000 children in the county. Today, we got less than 2,000, the last census. It seems like the last several years since the close of World War II that the first grades, the children entering the school for the first time, has dropped, not only here, but all over the country.
We hear so many people talk about the one-room school, but nowadays it's just something of a memory. Could you more or less give us an outline or a little history about a one-room school? What all, or how did it function?
One-room school, it had anywhere from, I'd say 30 to 40 people, sometimes 45, and it was one teacher. And we had a big burnside coal stove in the center of the room. We had to furnish coal and kiln there at St. D's School. That was the way they heated the school. Each school had either had a well or a system for a water supply. Of course, there was no cafeteria, no lunch, or every pupil brought their own lunch every day to school.
Did the teacher clean the school or did some of the children?
Well, the children helped the teacher clean the school. And the children brought in the coal, the kiln, carried the water in, did everything like that because they wanted to do it. And those, back in the 30s, we taught 8 grades. One year we taught the 5th and 7th. Next year we dropped that and picked up the 6th and 8th. We taught that. And the state didn't furnish any textbooks then. The children all had to buy their textbooks. There wasn't anything furnished but a building and a stove, and that's about it. One experience I remember, I had a one-room school in the far end of the county. I won't mention the name. We'd send water out there, and at night it was dry season, and the neighbors would come in and borrow the water, I call it, and take it. A day or two, I had to haul more water. So I just went out and told the teacher, I said, "Now we'll send the water out here, and you ask these people if they'll come and ask them in school out and bring their own tub or bucket, and we'll be glad to divide the water with them," which we did, and never had any more trouble. So we had all kinds of situations. There was no school district too much like another. And the teachers, I think the school term then was about, what was it, 8 months out of the year? Is that right?
Like that.
And as soon as the teachers finished school, they'd go to Moorhead to finish their education. Some of them, it took them years and years, but they finally all got a degree and got a good certificate.
Were the one-room schools basically set up to make the children close to a school so they didn't have to travel very far?
Yeah, so they could walk to school. Some of them had to walk a mile to school. Some of them, a few of them over there, but a mile caught most of them. There was no such thing as school buses, and they didn't pay much attention to the weather. They went bad weather and all. We finally got a health officer in the county that immunized the children in one of them schools and took care of their health needs. A long time didn't have that.
Can you remember when the first busing came to Bath County?
I think it was 1937.
And you were still a superintendent?
Yeah.
How did that originate?
Well, we took in the, that's when we started consolidating, we took in the Salt Lake School, the Bethel School, and then a little later the Owensville School. The first buses we had in Bethel and then Salt Lake and then Owensville. We first started out with, I think we had four buses. Paid the bus drivers, I think, $75 a month. I understand now they make a price part over $200.
And after they started the consolidated school and had busing, well, many children came back as freshmen, you see, that had no way to get to the high school, you know, as well as the other places.
Then, back in those days, when a child graduated from a rural school, he had to come to Owensville and take a examination and pass an examination to be able to enroll in high school. They gave those examinations once a year.
And if a child living in the in a district, say, and they didn't want to go to that school, or the parents didn't want them to go to that school, they could go to the Owensville school if they paid the
tuition,
you see. I never went to the district school. I always went to the Owensville school.
How much was the tuition at that time?
I had no idea.
It wasn't too much.
During the Depression, I'm sure, as every place else, had a rough time financially. What type of budget did you run on?
Well, the highest budget I had in the 30 years, in the 9 years I was superintendent, was $95,000 a year. That includes state money, county money, and all the money we had. Now the budget I noticed up here last year was a little over $2 million. That's more different.
We also talked before about the trustees of the one room school.
Each school district had to elect a trustee, and the trustee recommended the teacher for that district, and the board elected. I think the only qualification was for a trustee at that time was you had to be able to read and write. But long just before we consolidated, one of the trustees sued the board, and we took the case to the Court of Appeals, and it was on that case that the State Court of Appeals threw out the trustee system for the entire state. They'd been wanting to do it for years, but that's the first clear-cut case they had where they had a chance to do it.
And that was when the board wanted to keep a teacher that they already had, you see, and the trustee recommended someone else.
Members of the Court of Appeals said that was the best job up to that time that had ever been done for the schools in the state of Kentucky, but to be able to throw out the trustee system.
And about what year was that?
About 37 was what I remember.
I think it would be well to mention this, maybe, when they had the rural schools, that was more or less a community center. You know, they had church and the schools or any community activity they had in the school.
Everything in that little district or community revolved around the school.
So I think some people objected to consolidation for that reason. It broke up their community activities. Of course, most of the little schools were bought and used as residences after that.
I think there's one or two still standing. Somebody lives in them. Most of them been torn down.
After you ended your tenure as a superintendent, did that end your career in the educational system?
No, I talked to three different times after that. I was principal of the Salt Lake School three different times. The last time was from 64 to 68, 4 years.
When was the first time that you were the principal there?
Early 30s, boy, I was kind of school superintendent in the early 40s. Early 40s, I believe. No, first time I was out there was in the early 30s.
Well, was that before you were county school superintendent?
Yeah.
You didn't go from the one-room school then to being county school superintendent. You went from being principal of Salt Lake.
That's the way I remember it. Been so long. Memory slipped away from me. And then I taught 2 years in the 40s, principal out there, and then from 64 to 68 in the 60s.
When you were the principal out there, how large was the school?
About 300. It stayed that way for years and years, doing very, very much.
You know, you hear so much these days of trouble in the schools and vandalism, things like that. How was it back when you first began?
We didn't have much vandalism. Not too much, not like it is now.
Not as much a disciplinary problem.
No, we didn't have much disciplinary problem because teachers, if a child didn't behave himself, whether they give them a good whipping. A lot of times when they got home, the parents gave them another one. We didn't have much trouble then, and it was a rare thing that a parent would ever take a teacher into court for whipping a child too hard.
Well, they just gave him, I mean, they didn't whip him hard anyway.
No.
Scared him with a little switch, I think.
I always told my teachers back in the 30s that when you have a teacher's meeting, if you can't control him, you can't teach him. And I think that's the old rule.
Do you remember any specific incidents when you were out at the high school when you were there that stand out in your memory that you might relate to us?
No, I can't think of anything. Right now, the time that I were out there, well, we had a few disciplinary problems, but we didn't have much trouble handling it.
Besides the academic area, did you have in your school like sports programs?
In a small way. Out there we had a basketball team, just the boys, and a baseball team. There wasn't anything for the girls.
We used to have little parties and things.
Yeah.
In school, you know.
Well, the community just kind of looked to the school, they'd have parties and socials and meetings of various kinds, and always had in school buildings because they didn't have anybody there.
Was there a PTA program at that time?
Not when I first went in later years ago. So you might say a pretty strong PTA in each school, in each high school. I mean, each grade and high school.
You said that you were, the last time you worked as a principal was in the 60s. How would you compare the two times when you first began and then when you went back at the last?
Well, the main thing I noticed, I think the children as a whole didn't seem as much interested in learning as they used to be, as they were further back. That's just my opinion, I might be wrong. schools now, they have more interest in athletics than they've ever had. Some people think that's good, and some think it's not too good.
Going off the educational system, when you all lived here, what type of social activities were available in Bath County for just the adults to go to?
Not much outside of the church and some functions maybe at school.
Were there any places of like dance halls or theaters?
Way back yonder, they had a cotillion club here in the county, and they gave dances at the courthouse once or twice a year. They put canvas down on the floor and push all the benches back and bring in an altar. They didn't have trouble with outsiders trying to take over. It's pretty hard to be pretty hard now to have something like that unless you had a lot of protection.
And then years ago, we had Chautauquas in the summer, you know. That lasted
That lasted around here in the county, 15, 20 years.
Yes, but it lasted about a week, didn't it, when we had it. But they came every summer. It was under a tent, you see. And they really had excellent programs and entertainment.
Brought in some of the top entertainers and speakers in the whole country. And that's Chautauqua, and the merchants put up the money to pay for that, of course, charge admission to go to it. Did we have William Jennings Bryan up here one time?
I think so. I believe so.
He's the one I remember.
They had plays and speakers and musicians and different types and things.
Good entertainment and his education too. That all passed out of the picture.
I've noticed driving through Owensville that they have a theater up there. Do you remember when that first arrived and about what time?
Well, there was a picture show there when I first came to Owensville. I don't know how long it was before it.
Quite a long time before that.
Been there a long time. Same location. Back in those days, they had shows every night in the week, but Sunday, they didn't have any on Sunday. Then they got to have them on Sunday. But they have, I think, shows now just about two or three nights a week. Maybe just two.
Of course, I'm sure the price is a little bit different now than what it was.
Well, you used to go show then for 20, 25 cents. I think it's $2 now.
You hear people talk about like ice cream parlors, confectionery shops. Did Owensville or Bath County ever have any of those?
They had a confectionery up there at Owensville. They had the old time ice cream chairs, and we call them ice cream, and metal chairs and tables.
Of course, they're very valuable.
Very valuable now. People would come to town in the afternoon and go in there and sit down and talk with their friends for an hour or two.
Drink a Coke, you know, and loaf all afternoon.
What other things have come to Bath County since you've been here?
Well, it's been, you might say, purely an agricultural county, and still don't have hardly any industries. One thing I've noticed in the last few years, Bath County is one of the few small towns in the state that has three top nursing homes. Not many little towns can boast of that. Three in one town. And I noticed a paper the other day where all three of them employ 63 people. All local people.
We have a Lions Club here, an active Lions Club, and a Woman's Club, and
Homemakers.
Homemakers, and
PTA. Athletic Society.
And the Lions Club has put on a horse show for 34 years,
I think.
34 years. And we have one of the best horse shows in the state. I think we rank about...
Next to the booth, third. Next to the Junior League horse show.
Yes, I mean...
Lions Club owns about 50 acres of land down there.
We
got a clubhouse and barns and concession stand and caretaker and got thousands and thousands of dollars invested down there. And the public uses that just about the year round for reunions and dances. As somebody uses the clubhouse and ground practically all through the summer and a lot of times in the winter.
Well, now this horse show's coming up the second, third, and fourth, so you might enjoy going and seeing what we have, but it really is a good horse show.
I've talked to people in other counties around here, and they've talked about carnivals and little circuses coming around to their communities. Did these frequent Owensville?
Yes, they used to come here, but I had been a carnival in Owensville for years and years. And there used to be a small circus come here. That's up the old creek.
And then they used to have street fairs, yeah. You know, and county fairs and things of that kind.
What were some of the highlights of a street fair? What was the most common thing that was there?
Well, they usually had a merry-go-round or high ride for children, and a lot of times they displayed agricultural products in the courthouse and gave prizes for the best quality. And the merchants usually always put on a big sale while that is going on. Now, a week from this Saturday, they'll have what they call a horse trading day. And the concessionaires come in there and they sell everything and trade, and they'll have a bean dinner. Every year they have I call it a brown bean dinner, with onions and cornbread and coffee. Usually have big crowds. And on the first, second Saturday in May, they have May Day. They've had that about 20 years. They'll have a parade. They usually have some celebrity to lead the parade. This last time we had our Congressman Carl Perkins. Last year we had Senator Walter Huddleston.
Thelma Stovall.
Thelma Stovall, Lieutenant Governor.
And that's under the auspices of the Lions Club, you see, and the other organizations and all will cooperate. Yeah,
they'll have floats, and they have those floats judged and give prizes for the best floats in different categories.
And we have the Junior Chamber of Commerce. We mustn't leave that out.
Yeah.
This is side two of an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Winton Horton. We've been talking about some of the things that have come about in Bath County over the last number of years. Maybe just continue on this same line, and you might mention some other things that have come about, such as the improvement of the roads. Can you remember how they used to be when you first got here?
When I was county school superintendent in the 30s, of course, the school started in the summer. Most of the roads outside of US 60 and in the towns were dirt and gravel roads. I'd have to pick a dry time of the year to get to some of the schools, but the weather got bad, couldn't get there. But Bath County now is pretty well covered with blacktop roads.
I had thought of another organization we have, the Historical Society.
Yeah.
That this recently has been organized, I think.
How would you say the churches in the area have played a part in the development of Bath County.
Well, they've played a good part. Some very strong churches in the county. The old denominations and then some new. The county's pretty well covered with churches.
Did the churches, or did they used to hold a number of suppers or get-togethers, or different things like this during the year?
They've always done that through the year. And most of them about once a year would have a 5 or 10 day protracted meeting, bring in some outside preacher, usually.
Yeah.
The Bible. In the last few years, since they brought in electricity in the county in late 1937, 38, first time we'd had electric in the county, and now they're bringing in the water lines. I just got my meter put in yesterday, and within a month we'll get water in this whole end of the county from Cave Run Lake. Big improvement. And then finally, I believe in a few years, go over most of the county.
How bad was the depression to this county? How hard did it hit this county?
It hit it pretty hard, but most people lived on the farms and they didn't, of course, didn't have the money to buy what they used to buy. But they just kept working and cutting down their living expenses and raised mostly what they ate, and I'd say they got by better than they did in the cities.
A place such as Owensville during the Depression, did it hurt all the businesses there tremendously, and did they have any banks that may have folded or anything like this?
No. When the bank holiday came in the early 30s, these two banks up here were in good shape. One of them just closed a few days and then reopened and never had any trouble. No foreclosures that I know of.
I imagine many people bought farms, lost their land, didn't they?
Well, they would have lost more, but after Roosevelt was elected, he got laws passed to help the farmers pay for the land, and through the government programs, a lot of them held on to the land that otherwise would have lost it. That time, they owned money to buy farms and hold farms at 3.5% interest. A lot of difference between that and interest now.
Can neither of you think of anything else that you might want to add to the interview?
Change in the county government. Now the sheriff's office stays open 24 hours a day. Has all kinds of communications, CBs, and they patrol the roads pretty well over the county up to about 2 o'clock in the morning. Years ago, nobody ever heard of that.
Right, progressive county, I think.
Small county, less than 10,000 population. A little over 9,000, I think. One time, back in the 30s, the population got up a little over 13,000. Then the Depression came, and a lot of people began to move out to Ohio and Indiana and Michigan hunting work. A lot of them got work and never did come back.
some projects going in Owensville now.
Courthouse Annex?
Yes, Courthouse Annex. It'll be there where the parking lot is, you know.
Where the old schoolhouse used to be.
That's where Professor Martin's school was, on the parking lot. Just torn that down.
About a year ago.
About a year ago, I think.
Well, thank you very much.